Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards for Lisa Dent today. She'll be back tomorrow. A little bit of follow-up on the subject, which really was history on Friday, the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe versus Wade. A little follow-up on that, but also some of the other statements that were made by some of the Supreme Court justices. In your Chicago Tribune, Clarence Page wrote, "Now that the Supreme Court has overturned the landmark Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion nationwide in 1973, could same-sex marriage be next, or even interracial marriage?" Clarence writes, "I'm not too worried about interracial marriage, since to coin an old phrase, the justices themselves have some skin in the game." Clarence Page joins us on the phone line right now, syndicated columnist, senior member of the Chicago Tribune editorial board, and one of the nicest guys that we have working in Chicago, observing things. Clarence, nice to have you back with us here on WGN. Hello.
Thank you. It's great to be back. And I hope you're missing my last little bad pun there. It doesn't scare everybody away.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, because it's, I think, very poignant. Explain what you mean when you say the justices have some skin in the game.
Yeah, this case we're talking about, particularly Justice Clarence Thomas, who is in an interracial marriage with his wife, Jenny, upcoming rising nominee and Justice, Chief Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, also is in a mixed marriage, which just shows you how much things can change in a half century or less since the Loving decision came out back in the, what was that? That was back in
1967, right?
Yeah. Thank you. I was in college.
Or at least that's when this Loving case was the case of, I believe it was an African American woman who wanted to marry a white man.
That's right.
And he was sentenced to a year in prison for marrying an African American woman. And that's what brought up the decision in the first place back then. Not that long ago, everybody. Not that long ago.
No, not at all. And it was at that time, the Gallup polls showed only about 85% of the public was opposed to mixed marriages. Now it's more than 85% support or support the right to mixed marriage.
The opposite way, yeah.
And, which shows you how much things have changed.
Right.
And this is how our system works, including the Supreme Court, that with changing times, we Americans like to think you adjust to changing conditions and it shouldn't be too lockstep with the past, which is why this particular decision now about Roe v. Wade strikes so many people as a big shock.
Yeah, this is, particularly important now because Justice Alito's majority opinion about the Roe v. Wade case said this was strictly about the abortion issue. And then Justice Thomas came back and said that they should think about reopening decisions on contraception, sodomy, and same-sex marriage. He left out interracial marriage, as you said, because he had some skin in the game.
You might say he was more judicious than that to bring that up. But it is very telling that Alito went so far as to say this opinion applies to this issue and no other. Everybody knows that's not how the Supreme Court works. You know, you can't say that this decision doesn't impact future decisions and also believe in the principle of precedent, that the Supreme Court likes to stand on precedent, that they don't just do something out of the blue, which again is what is so shocking about this decision, because the overturning Roe v. Wade overturned something that virtually every nominee to the Supreme Court, when they're being questioned in Congress and they're asked about Roe v. Wade, they express a respect for precedent. They don't want to say yes or no whether they would vote for it, but they do express a respect for precedent. And now some angry folks on the Democratic side want to have the last two justices prosecuted for perjury for not being more explicit in their testimony. I don't think that's going to get anywhere. I mean, this has become routine now. We don't call it lying. We just call it interpretations of the truth or something like that.
Right, yeah.
But it's really... That alone is a major controversy here.
Yeah, well, I think that's what the last three justice conferees have said, that, you know, you misinterpreted what I said when you asked
right.
me about Roe versus Wade. Clarence, can you just walk me through a little bit how this Roe versus Wade decision would reopen these other issues? How does one affect the others? They're all based on
the 14th Amendment, which says, I just happen to have it here.
Well, all
persons born.
Look who has this pocket edition of the 14th Amendment with him.
Yes, indeed. I don't leave home without it. You know? but that's the one. You know, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. You know, with the many people call them the anti-slavery amendments. But the 14th Amendment said all persons born and naturalized in the U.S. and subject to jurisdiction thereof, et cetera, et cetera. My computer just betrayed me. Oh, here we go. almost went to sleep on me. All persons born and naturalized in the United States will, for no state, shall make or enforce any law that shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens, nor shall any state deprive a person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, that due process clause, that is a very significant, because like in the cases of Obergefell and Hodge, which was about same-sex marriage, and in the other cases about the sodomy laws.
Yeah.
and the contraception,
yeah.
and all three of those cases are based on the idea that people, personal liberty. Now Justice Thomas was quite explicit in wanting to revisit those rulings and other 14th Amendment rulings, which it's interesting to me that he would call for that when Alito himself wants to shy away from it. Maybe it won't go anywhere, maybe it will, but many people who care about same-sex marriage, who care about the various types of contraceptives, some of which, well, like the abortion pill and other abortifacients, are viewed by the Right to Life movement as being just as bad as outright abortion or outright surgical abortion. This issue is not going away, and it could get even worse for those who believe in choice. It's no surprise that I happen to be on the pro-choice side because I'm a columnist. I'm free to express my opinion. But
right.
The fact of the matter is that it is a popular side to be on as far as public is concerned. In fact, there's a new Marist poll just came out. This released today shows a 40% gap. Between those folks who are on the side of, there's a 40% gap among Democrats alone on the abortion issue because the Democrats are overwhelmingly in favor of choice. But between the middle and upper income and the lower income, there's that 40% gap. Which is interesting that lower income people tend to be more anti-abortion than those with education.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. It's going to be very interesting to follow this because you could say that if you are anti-abortion, that you are that because you care about life, the life of the unborn. With these other issues, are lifestyle. that
that's right.
really have, you know, really is nobody's business. You know,
yeah, of course, marriage is more than lifestyle, naturally.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of adopters. I mean, I know gay couples who have adopted kids or natural kids.
Grandkids, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I was amazed myself, Dean, at how quickly public opinion changed on gay marriage, and it just kind of happened here about the last 10 to 20 years ago, here really just in recent decades. Suddenly there was this big turn, and I think that a combination of the media and life experiences caused people to lose their fear of same-sex marriage, and but not on all the members of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. You can read much more, Clarence, of course, in the Chicago Tribune, syndicated columnist all over the country, senior member of the Chicago Tribune editorial board. Clarence, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
You too. Have a great day.